This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
Hi, this is Joey Barton.
And Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
And you're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
Hello and welcome along to The Score with me, Michael Clark. Here's what's coming up on this week's programme. In just a moment, we'll be talking to Ballymena United manager Jim Irvin. What a start to the season he had. But have the Sky Blues turned a corner? Jim Irvin on the way in just a moment. Coming up later on the programme, we're going to be speaking to Danny Purkis. He scores long rangers at Will now, folks. He scores close rangers too, and they're very important for Carrick Rangers. He is on the show today, and we will be speaking to the Northern Ireland manager, Michael O'Neill, after he made his squad announcement. What are his thoughts on the players that he's picked, the players that are unavailable to him, Craig Cathcart announcing his retirement, and Stephen Davis, the interim manager at Rangers. Who saw that coming? It's all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Yes, hello and welcome along to The Score. And we kick off this week's programme with a manager who, well, when we use that phrase, baptism of fire, he has certainly lived it this season. He's hoping he's now come through it as well. A couple of wins on the board will certainly make you feel better, and a couple of back-to-back wins across all competitions will make fans feel better too. He is the manager of Ballymena United. It's Jim Irvin. Jim, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks, Michael. Yourself?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Lovely to have you on the show again. And are you feeling a bit more relaxed into things now? I mean, it's been all go, hasn't it, since you've taken on the job?
It has. It's felt like sort of a year into the job rather than a couple of months. but one that I've looked forward to very much through into the mix of it. And it's still all relatively new and exciting at the minute. Even though we're sort of coming through our first set of games, it's still getting to grips with it and learning the managing side of things now.
What's the hardest bit of it? Because, you know, this is your first go as being a senior manager. People can so quickly forget that. Was you've been in the league for so long as a player and been there and done it and won it, and now you're taking on that number one position.
Yeah, it can be difficult. It can be difficult for the aspects of I physically can't influence the game as such as being on the pitch. You know, sometimes as a player, if you see things going wrong, you see things it's sort of not going well, you can try and intervene and do something about it yourself. We're sort of the managing side of things. You're putting all that over to the players and you're hoping that the instructions that you're giving them, that they're able to take it out and sometimes use their own initiative when they see things on the pitch. So it has been new, and it's been frustrating at times. It's been enjoyable at times too. So, you know, like I say, getting to grips with it. I'm really, really enjoying the training side of things, you know, and working with the players and those different things sort of during the week in preparation for game days. And you just always hope that the information that you're giving the players during the week, both for tactical reasons and on the opposition, that, you know, that they put that plan in place on a Saturday. And, you know, when you do get a result on a Saturday evening, it makes it all worthwhile, you know, and you're able to sort of relax a wee bit that Saturday evening, where when results go against you, you're always thinking, you know, what did I do wrong? What could have went right? What could have done differently? So yeah, it's been a roller coaster, put it that way.
I know, and the day you stop caring is the day you have to just step away from it entirely. It's so personal, and no matter what advice anyone offers you, and I'm sure you've had lots of great people offering you advice, it's hard not to feel very personally about everything that happens in football.
It is, you know, and I guess as a player, I always took things personal as well. You know, if results went bad and it always affected my weekend, and it's probably been no different now, obviously, as manager of Ballymena. And it is difficult to switch off, but at the same time, you have to come away from it at some stage over the weekend after the games, and you have to get away from it. Otherwise, it starts affecting you away from the game too, you know, in your home life and your work life. So there is, you do have to try and find that balance. Of course, the work's sort of 24/7, but you do need to sort of switch off for a couple of hours over the weekend and just try and go away and forget about what has happened, because ultimately what's happened in the past, you can't really affect it anymore. You know, it's been and gone. It's then you have to try and think forward, and what you've maybe questioned, you've done wrong, is look to put that right in the coming week, and then obviously for the game the following week as well.
Have you found anything that works for you in terms of just relaxing on a Saturday night? I can't really imagine you coming home and sticking on Strictly, but then half the country does.
it's only started, so it's only a couple of weeks into that. But listen, it just depends. You know, sometimes after a game, you know what it's like sort of personally. You maybe have family gatherings to go to, or different functions and stuff like that. So it just really depends sort of what way the week has went. And obviously it's so busy during the week too with your own work and then obviously the football commitments. Sometimes it is nice just to come home and just switch off and enjoy it with the family, you know, rather than even watching the TV, just sitting down with them and seeing how they are, because sometimes they feel the brunt of it. You know, you don't get to see too much of them during the week, and you don't get to ask them too much of how their weeks went, how their work has been, school, etc. like that. So sometimes it's nice on a Saturday evening to sit down and just spend that time with them and show them that you are still interested in how things are going in their life.
There we go. Jim Irvine distances himself from Strictly viewing habit.
Oh no, it would maybe be on in the background, but like I said, it would take me a couple of weeks to get into it first, Michael.
Well, there we go. We'll have a watch for any sort of salsa techniques now when you're moving around the dugout. I couldn't really imagine that too much, but there we are. In terms of how this season started and the fixtures you were throwing up, I mean, there was no breathing space, there was no time to really get settled in. It was just you go straight into the deep end. At some point you might look back and call it a blessing, Jim, but I'm sure it didn't feel like won those first few weeks, the first month or so?
No, definitely not. You know, the fixture list came out. Obviously, we were all excited. The backroom staff and the players were really excited as the fixtures being released. I don't think any of us could have dreamt that it was going to be as difficult as what it was. But ultimately, with all due respect to teams in the league, every game is difficult in the league. So it didn't really matter what way the fixtures come out, you know. And we've had a discussion that, you know, with the first five games being against five of the top teams from last year, you know, and the fact that we didn't pick up any points, the confidence maybe dropped and stuff like that. And to be fair to the boys, the confidence levels didn't drop, because I think other than the Crusaders game, there was maybe a 20-minute, 30-minute period of the first half where, you know, they toyed with us a wee bit and could have done, I think only for Sean O'Neill, it may have been a bigger scoreline at half-time. But the other four games, we were really competitive. We stayed in the game for large parts of it. You know, even the Lauren game was 3-0. They scored two late goals, and it was never a 3-0 game. But performance levels were really good. You know, the energy and how the boys carried out the tactics that we asked them to do was superb. And we were just sort of looking to build on that then, coming into the sort of next set of fixtures. And that probably disappointed us a wee bit more that, you know, the Glenavon game away, we were down to 10 men for the majority of the second half. We started slowly and probably didn't do the things that we'd done well against the other top sides. And it was something that we learned very quickly as a group, that, you know, you can't drop your level. You know, that level that you're competing at against the top sides, you also need to sort of put that same amount of level, if not more, into the teams that's sort of in and around you. Because ultimately, the teams in the bottom half of the table is going to, you know, it's going to dictate where we'll finish up at the end of the season, and be focused on and switched on more than most.
And so how do you reflect on your September, where, you know, the month starts with a defeat against Glenavon, which might have been a weak game that somewhere deep down you'd earmarked, but then you get your first win against Carrick Rangers, your old club, and I'm sure you're getting plenty of messages from people going, well done, or finally, depending on how friendly they are.
Yep. No, and that's, we knew that performance was there, you know, and we were brilliant that day against Carrick. and we were really, really pleased. And we had built in that all week leading into the Loch Gall game. You know, first half against Loch Gall, I thought we were decent. You know, we limited them into very few chances, and the chances they had were from long range, you know. And we'd spoke to the boys at half time, you know, they didn't have a shot in target first half. And then all of a sudden, second half, we kind of fell to pieces a wee bit, and it actually looked like it was a team just threw together. And we had a chat afterwards and spoke about different things, and it just kind of looked as if, you know, we maybe expected the same come the second half. And to be fair to Loch Gall, they come out and, you know, they were then 3-1 up within 12 minutes to start the second half. And we had warned the boys, we had preparation done with Loch Gall all week, we'd seen so many of their games previous, and we knew there were going to be no mugs. You know, they've been superb from the come into the league, and they've caught quite a few teams off guard, and a lot of the results have got them very positive. So as a coaching staff, we weren't surprised by it. We knew there would be a reaction from Dean Smith's side in the second half, but I think from the players' point of view, they probably weren't expecting the reaction they got second half. And ultimately we didn't do our job second half, and we paid the price for it, which was why we lost the game 3-1. But, you know, I asked for a response from the players at Dungannon, and you know, we got that, which was very important on Saturday. And then we built on that again with Lisburn Distillery during the week. And the thing that probably pleased me most was the clean sheet in the two games.
And the way to win the Dungannon game, you know, it's a late goal and it's a young player, Noah Stewart, getting it as well. It probably just feels extra sweet when it comes off like that.
Yes, it does. You know, and I've spoke previously this week regarding young Noah Stewart. Noah came into our reserve side. Chris Duff brought him in from Linfield Swifts. And he'd been getting rave reviews from Chris. We'd been to watch him again, the reserves. And we just felt last Tuesday night, we were actually short in numbers, just because the reserves had a game the night before and a couple of the first team boys had played, and we give them the night off. So we invited Noah up to train with us, as he deserved his chance. He impressed us really well on the Tuesday evening's training session. He was, you know, just a young lad, come up and embraced it, and didn't really think too much about the opposition that he was going to be playing against in training, the first team boys. And he took it upon himself, you know, and we came away from training last Tuesday night talking about Noah. So we asked him to come back on the Thursday. We then had an injury doubt over Isaac for Saturday, so we included Noah in the match day squad, and once Isaac was ruled out, he was on the bench. So then on Saturday, Johnny McMurray puts a hell of a shift in, and there was just something, you know, I can always remember a manager giving me advice to say that, you know, whatever your instinct is, just go with it. And something that day was always about, you know, Noah will do the job for you. And when Johnny was busted and his legs had gone, we stuck Noah on, and I went with that gutting instinct. And thankfully it came up trumps, and he got the winner. So I was delighted for him, you know, because he's deserved it. It's probably been a chaos week for him, with not expecting to be anywhere near the first team. But the one thing we did say to the younger players within the club, that we will certainly give them an opportunity. It may not come straight away, but there will be an opportunity there for them to play. And, you know, we seen that again on Tuesday evening at Lisburn Distillery, with Lewis Tennant coming through the youth setup, David Taylor coming through the youth setup. You know, obviously Noah then finished the game, and young Fintan O'Boyle as well. So we finished the game on Tuesday evening with four or five teenagers on the pitch.
And with the scoreline too, coming off the back of the league game, and the fact that you're able to give some other players extra minutes or first minutes potentially, it just all kind of, I would think, improves the feeling, gives everyone that little sense of, okay, maybe we're starting to figure things out now after a tough start.
Yes, that's it. You know, it's important for me and the management staff, the coaching staff, that we keep the players' feet in the ground. You know, ultimately we've only won two league games, so that needs to improve. And, you know, gradually we do see improvements within the squad. And the other side of it being too, Michael, is we've sort of 12 new players trying to integrate them into the squad. So there's been a big turnaround in players that have went out the door and come in. That's not going to gel overnight. You know, Dylan Boyle has joined us sort of after the first five games of the season, you know, with Donald Rocks, who came in and he missed the first four games. So it was always going to take time for us to get the players sort of gelling together and get them out on the pitch. And and get to know one another. So, you know, we do see slight improvements, but we will demand more out of the players each coming week.
And when you look at the league table, I mean, it is so incredibly tight, and we always, and understandably, focus on the top. But if you look at Carrick Rangers in eighth, down to yourselves at the moment, bottom of the table, they've 10 points, you've 6 points. By the end of this weekend, you could be talking about a point difference between you, potentially, and I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but that's just one of the various outcomes. So things can so quickly change, for better or worse, depending on how you fare.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You know, you look around, you look at some of the results that the Carrick have had and other clubs have had, and they've been brilliant, you know, beating teams in the top six. And it just goes to show you how strong the league is, that on any given day, I know we keep saying it, and it's maybe a boring old cliche, but on any given day, anybody can beat anybody in this league. And that's what's so exciting about it. And again, it's maybe boring for the fans and stuff like that, but as manager you know, a backroom staff, it literally is one game at a time, and you just have to focus on that next game, because I always feel that if you look too far ahead, that's when things start to go wrong for you, and you know, you take your focus away from what is your sort of bread and butter.
And Saturday, I'm going to be there with Tony Gorman. I'm looking forward to it. Your game against Newry City. It's so early in the season, but plenty of people will be talking about this as a real indicator in terms of where teams are. 11th v 12th. They're 1 point ahead of you at the moment. What's your thoughts going into that game? I hear you saying keep the feet on the ground, but Newry will want a response after a heavy defeat themselves last time out.
Yeah, they will, and we need to be prepared for that. You know, we, like I say, we'll have our preparation done. We'll have a game plan set out. We've had Newry watch several times, you know, and we'll certainly not be taking them for granted. We know it's going to be difficult. Like I say, each game is very difficult. So it's a case of us making sure our boys are switched on and they know the roles and responsibilities. And, you know, as long as they go and perform to the level that they've shown the last two, three games, then, you know, all we can do is ask them to go and give of their best. You know, sometimes it's good enough, sometimes it's not. So the one thing that we will make sure is that they have the right information and they'll be well drilled and they'll be prepared the right way.
And when you look at it, and I mean, we're 10 games, everybody's played 10 games, so, you know, big asterisk or disclaimer beside it, whatever way you want to look at it, you've conceded 16 goals. There's a lot of teams that have conceded more goals than Ballymena United. The frustration, I'm sure, Jim, will be in front of goal. That's where you've had a problem so far.
Yes, it has, but, you know, like I say, we're trying to integrate so many new players. It's certainly not an excuse, but we've been looking at everything. We're introducing so many new players. They're trying to get to know one another. First five games were extremely difficult. There's no two ways about it. But we've slowly started to find our feet. You know, during the week there, we got a couple of goals, which will help boost the confidence. Obviously, Johnny McMurray scored two. Big Isaac has scored a couple from his come in from Lauren. So it's a case of us just getting those players on the pitch more regularly. And the more time, more opportunity they've got, the more confidence they'll build up, and hopefully those goals start to come. But yeah, you know, scoring the goals, it's not just about the strikers, it's all over the pitch. Like we say, when defending, when we concede a goal, it's not just the back four or the goalkeeper, it's everybody sort of held accountable, and likewise sort of scoring goals. But we have confidence in the strikers that we have there. We have no doubt in that once they get up and running, that they'll keep going. And we look forward to Saturday, and hopefully, obviously, whoever's playing up front or whoever else can get the goals back in again, just like we did on Tuesday night.
Now, I want to get your thoughts on the League Cup draw, because I was with your old manager, David Jeffrey, doing that, and Paul McLean, and Bet McLean, going through the draws, and, you know, people are already going, my goodness, Glentoran versus Linfield, and then when your ears, I'm sure, would have already pricked up at that, given your past, Jim, and then let alone what happened next when Ballymena United end up being drawn at home against Coleraine.
Yeah, you know, two exciting ties, you know, and there's quite a lot of other difficult games in there too. So, you know, everybody's there on merit. Everybody's sort of into the next round, and they deserve to be there. So again, you know, all we were sort of hoping for was a home tie. That's all you can hope for in those sort of League Cup games, is to get a home tie, and then ultimately it's the luck of the draw. You know, it'll be an exciting one for the fans. Obviously, Coleraine, it'll be a mouth-watering game. as it being a derby game. I think we play them two before the League Cup game will come around, so there'll be a lot of excitement in the air, and you know, it'll add to the occasion, I suppose, of being a cup game under the lights at the showgrounds and against your bitter rivals.
So you're not falling out with him then, that he didn't give you a maybe more favourable draw?
No, I'll not fall out with him just yet, you know, because again, it would have been disrespectful if I would say any of the other games were more favourable. Like I say, when you look through sort of some of the so-called lesser teams, you know, Ards in the Championship, Anna, they've started the season really well, and they've obviously come on the back of good wins during the week. Limavady are absolutely flying too in their league. So no matter who we would have been drawn against, it would have been a difficult tie, and it would have, each game always brings its own difficulties, I suppose, is what I've learnt so early on here in my managerial career. So, you know, all we asked for was a home tie, and we've got that, so we'll look to move on from that.
Yeah, it's such an unbelievable learning curve going into management. Fair play to you and to anybody that takes that on, because watching on, I mean, I get a bit closer than most in terms of seeing the pressure that it brings, but I've no idea really what that feels like, not at the level you're doing it at, and I'm sure it isn't always easy, but it strikes me that you're enjoying it, Jim, despite all the, you know, the problems that it can bring, that it seems like you're actually relishing it.
I am. I've probably really enjoyed it. I've probably enjoyed it more than what I maybe sort of even, you know, expected or anticipated. The one thing that I realised why I'm enjoying it is I haven't missed playing. You know, I actually thought by this stage I would be really missing sort of getting on the pitch myself and participating in games, but I haven't. And I think it's just because you're so busy. You know, you're so busy doing different bits and pieces and preparing and planning and different things like that, you don't really have the time to miss it. But like I say, aside of some of the results that we've had, I've really enjoyed it so far, and long may that continue.
And just finally, what's your message to Ballymena United fans? I'm sure they'll have enjoyed hearing such an in-depth conversation with you today, and I'm really, really grateful that you've been able to do it. What would you say to them in terms of the weeks and months ahead and where you want to go?
The weeks and months ahead, you know, they're going to be difficult. There's going to be a lot of bumps in the road. And from I've come in at day one, all we ask the supporters is to be patient with us. You know, we're a new squad. Say the 12, 13 new players have come in the summer. So there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. And to be fair to them, they've been superb with us. They understand the process that we're in the building that we're looking to do with not just the first team, but the whole club. And they've been top drawer, and the backing that myself and the players have had have been really, really encouraging. And all we ask for is for them to keep along with us, you know, and try and drive us on too, because they are, you know, everybody says that your fans are your 12th man, and when the chips are down and they're encouraging you and cheering you on, sometimes it does give you that extra 5%. And like I say, just ask them to be still stay patient with us. You know, hopefully there'll be brighter days ahead, and like I say, we're looking to build something here for not just a short term, longer term as well.
Well, I'll see you on Saturday for that game, but best of luck for all the season ahead. There's so much football to be played, and you'll not be able to shake me off, I don't think, Jim, so apologies for that, but thank you so much for coming onto the programme.
Not a problem, Michael, I really appreciate it, thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Fantastic to chat with Jim Irvine. Always enjoy hearing what he has to say. And I did say it early into the campaign, if anyone would be able to deal with the early pressure that those results brought about, I do genuinely believe it is Jim Irvine. And Ballymena United fans will be hoping that is the case. So you heard the manager's appeal. He wants you to get there in your numbers on Saturday and cheer the team on, which is a pretty straightforward request, really, I think. We did allude to the League Cup draw. In case you haven't heard it, we should call it the Bet McLean Cup, since they do such a great job supporting the competition. The round two fixtures as follows. These to be played on Tuesday, the 7th of November. Glentoran versus Linfield, and there was an audible when that happened. Yes, the holders having to go up against Glentoran, who they first of all have to play this weekend in the Premiership. So what a quick return to playing each other, and we know they'll play each other again a number of times throughout the season, including Boxing Day. So Glentoran against Linfield. Spicy. So that was a good way to start. Elsewhere, Portadown have been plucked out to play at home against Crusaders. So that is Portadown representing the Championship, and they are one of three teams from the Championship in this draw. Another is Annie United. They are at home against Loughgall. So two managers that live in the same street, renewing acquaintances and a wee bit of a rivalry there. That'll be another exciting matchup. Whilst the other side from the Championship, Ards, who got through after a brilliant 5-1 win against Ballinamallard at Fernie Park as well, it should be added. Well, they've a very difficult challenge on their hands because Larne are coming to play them at Clandeboy Park. So a big challenge for Matthew Tipton and his players, and Larne will be favourites, but will there be an upset in this round? Where might it come from? In the last round, the upset was the one survivor of the PIL as things stand now, and that was Limavady United. They were able to beat Dundella. In round two, they are at home and they are against Glenavon. Will they be able to overcome that hurdle? That will be really interesting to see how Paul Owen's side fare there. Carrick Rangers against Newry City, an all-premiership matchup. Four all-premiership ties in total. We've spoken about all the others bar one, and that is Dungannon Swifts against Cliftonville. Two teams who have won this competition before. Who will be in the next round, which is of course the quarter-final stage? Will it be the Swifts or will it be the Reds? So that is how the second round is shaping up, and I enjoyed going along and doing that draw. It's always fun. I don't know why I get nervous, because it's not me at the end of it all that'll get the blame. It's the two fellas pulling the teams out, which is Paul McLean and David Jeffrey. But I was standing there thinking, oh jeepers. I would turn your phone off if I was you, especially David Jeffrey, probably after doing the two Linfield coming out against Glentoran and then pulling Corrin out against his old Ballymena side as well. But there we are. In terms of the fixtures in the top flight this weekend, just to keep you across all of that detail, two huge games happening later on. Larne against Crusaders, which is a mouthwatering matchup in its own right at Inverpark. That is a really, really interesting one. How will that go? Larne turned it on in the second half against Glenavon. I didn't think they were overly impressive in the first, and what has impressed me more than anything nearly is the fact that I found out after the game that hat-trick hero Lee Bonus is really, really not well. He has had some sort of heavy flu, essentially, and he was coughing and spluttering, but he was still able to come on as a substitute after Andy Ryan picked up an injury and turn on the style. And you couldn't have told there was anything wrong with him in truth, so fair play to Lee. Hopefully he's feeling better for this match. Difficult one to call, I think. Two very good teams, and Linfield against Glentoran later on tonight. I'm looking forward to that as well. That should be a tremendous atmosphere as the Blues take on the Glens of the Saturday games. I've already mentioned I'm going to also be at Ballymena. Ballymena United against Newry City. Cliftonville against Dungannon Swifts, Corrin against Glenavon, and our next guest is a Carrick Rangers player, so we're going to hear about his game that is away to Loughgall. Just before we bring on our next guest, I do want to remind you Michael O'Neill is on the way shortly. We'll be hearing from the Northern Ireland boss very, very soon, but it is time to hear from the forward who has been scoring screamers. He has been announced as goal of the month for September. What a goal it was. I actually think he's doing his own goal of the season competition, because he has been banging in belters for Carrick Rangers. It can only be one man. It is Danny Perkis. Danny, how are you?
Not too bad, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on, and it's great to see a forward enjoying his football and scoring goals. It looks like you're really enjoying life at Carrick Rangers.
Yeah, absolutely loving every minute of it. Love travelling up and down the road, going to training, going to games, seeing the boys. Atmosphere is absolutely brilliant. Change room's a close wee knit, and we're just trying to pick up on results now and get a run going together, you know. But apart from that, yeah, really, really enjoying life at Carrick. I wish I had done a lot sooner, to be honest.
Well, that's really interesting you say that. There would have been people looking and maybe not aware of circumstances and going, What is Danny doing at this stage? Why is he going to Carrick Rangers? Surely there were other full-time teams that were an option if he had to leave Glentoran. And I don't know if that's something you want to open up about a bit, Danny.
Not particular. I wanted to go back part-time football when Stewie, the gaffer, came in for me with having my own business, and I locked on with my own life again. So Stewie came in just the right time for me, and I was more than happy to join up with him, with the lads at Carrick.
And it makes a lot of sense. When you are happy, things work out better on the pitch.
Yeah, I'm 100% for that. Stewie met me, just says, listen, I'm going to give you a platform to go and play, and you do you. He's believed in me. He's given me my chance, and I think I've took it so far, you know.
How different are you finding it in terms of expectations? Because you know what it's like to play for a club like Glentoran, and what their fans are expecting. Carrick Rangers have ambitions of growing the fan base and growing in terms of things they can achieve, but there is a difference between Glentoran and Carrick Rangers.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The full time is massive, but before I went to Glentoran, I was part time myself anyway, so going from full time back to part time was not a problem with me. But going from the part time to full time when I signed for Glentoran, it was hard at the time, going up and down the road every day and what you're expected to do, and so I just had to go back to part time.
And Carrick Rangers aspirations, what was it that they said to you when you met with them that made you think, yep, this is the club? Because I'm sure there was more than one suitor in for you.
Yeah, there was a couple of clubs coming for me. Not that I knew a couple of them, but whether I knew any more come in, I don't know. But Stewie was very, very keen. I know he tried to get me a year before that as well, and I think the Glens turned him down before that, you know. But he came in at a great time, and I was only too happy to go and join up with him.
So you mentioned the manager, Stuart King. What is it then that he's been doing that's all of a sudden allowed you to start hitting worldies?
I'm not actually too sure. I think away to Glenavon, and it was just frustration, you know. Things weren't going our way, and Kyle Cherry had been sent off, and weren't getting decisions going our way, and I thought, and I had watched Rory Brown throughout the game, and he was off his line for a wee bit, and I just thought, next time I get the ball here, I'm going to go for it. And if you watch the video again, I lift my head the first time, and I says, no, I didn't. I was actually scared to go for it in case it went AWOL, you know. But then I thought, stuff it, let's do it. And as soon as it left my foot, I was away celebrating, because I knew it was going somewhere, you know.
Oh, it was an absolutely superb goal. And, you know, the fact that I noticed that in the video, you have that little look up because you had to beat a couple of people and then you take it on. What is that feeling? Perfect. What is that feeling like? Because, look, most of us, that either just bobbles 6 yards or it goes flying, you know, out for a throw-in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It could go, it either go flying to the net, or it could go, I could hit the fans in the stand or go for a throw, you know. But as soon as I, the second phase of it, when I looked, left my head again, I thought, it's sitting right, let's go for it. And as I said, when I left my foot, I'd hit it sweet enough that once you let it go, I knew it was going in.
And then to go and do that in a derby game against Larne, though, I mean, is that just the confidence of having done it already? You thought, I may as well go for it again?
Yeah, just, again, if you watch that video, there's no striker where I could actually done anything. There was 3 Larne players for me, so when I got on the half turn, it just automatically went in my head again, Michael. I said, let it go, just go for it again here. And I remember Emmett coming over and telling me after, as soon as I hit it, Andrew Davey was going, he's doing it again, he's doing it again, he's done it again.
There's Emmett after my job, he's looking to be a commentator.
I know, it was so funny, but them 2 games, Michael, I would rather 3 points than the absolute screamers, you know.
Yeah, of course. The goals are nice, but as you say, it's the points that you're after. I mean,
absolutely,
I just want to ask, though, are you going to try it from even further back against Loch Hall?
Well, that is a smaller pitch, and I did try it against the Glens there on Saturday, but I think it went out for the far end of the throw-in, for a throw-in. I thought, no, let's not try it again.
Well, you talk about getting 3 points. What a way to do it against Glentoran, because Carrick Rangers, before that match, had never won at home in the league against Glentoran. And 4 minutes in, you find yourselves behind, and you're probably thinking, here comes history to repeat itself once again. But that wasn't to be the case. Nettis, with about 20 minutes left, scores, and then you, a couple of minutes later, get the winner. And I'm not just being nice because you're on the programme, but a very strong finish from you, because you were being rather tightly held on to at the back post.
Yeah, well, when Marcus Keane scored early on again, the Gaffers were, let's go out and keep this tight for as long as we can, and then let's play our way into the game. And as soon as they had scored, yep, it was a foul on Ross Glendening any day of the week. Like, but when Marcus Keane, I thought, here we go again. Like, is this going to be another one of these days? But we got into half time at 1-0, and things weren't too bad. Like, but I thought we'd come out second half, and 15 minutes in, Stewarty changed the shape up a wee bit, which allowed me to get in behind a lot more. Not that I wasn't anyway, I'm trying to cheat, but it allowed me to get in behind Paddy and Aidan Wilson a lot more and run the channels. But we got the goals in 2 and 2 minutes, and then it was only a matter of sit back and hold tight and let's get these 3 points.
Results like that for, you know, fans do wonders, really. For players, do you get to really enjoy it, or do you have to try and remind yourself, look, it is just 3 points?
No, I think before I didn't know that Carrick can never beat the Glens there at home, mm-hmm. ever before. So I think we did enjoy 5-10 minutes of beating them, you know, but we had to get back down the earth and knew we had another game ahead. But at the end of the day, it's only 3 points and we've another game coming thick and fast, as they all are. But we really want to get on a wee run again and see how far we can go and try and get points and climb up this table.
I mean, the thing is, I always say you're allowed to enjoy a victory. It's just knowing by the time the next game comes around, okay, right, next assignment's there. And I'm sure Stuart King is exactly the man to keep you all on your toes. I'm wondering about your teammates. How have you found them? You say it's a tight-knit little kind of group of people and everyone is very close to one another. Who are the big messers? Who are the big personalities that you've encountered?
Oh, there's a couple there, all right. No, but the change room when I went in was absolutely super with me, and took me a week or two to gel in and get my feet in the ground, you know. I know pre-season wise, and nothing was really working out for me in pre-season games. I couldn't hit a barn door. Probably the fans were thinking, oh, who is this guy, you know. But you know, the lads have been super with me, and as of Stewarty as well, you know. But you can I've played a lot. Obviously, I've played with Curtis Allen. Joe Crow was there. He had a good yarn pre-season to come to Carrick as well. A couple of others there I've played with as well. But there's a couple of big personalities there and messers, like Emmett McGuckin and Sergi. And Curtis is one too there, like. But no, the change room's absolutely super. Small squad as well, Michael. But and currently at the minute, we're going through with injuries and suspensions, it is hard. I'm sure it's hard, Stewarty and Scotty, and having to bring some of the young kids up, but they're also performing too, you know. They're great kids.
And we saw a few of them against Moyola, didn't we? I think it was it 4 debuts?
I think it was 4 there, or 3 anyway. And they were, you wouldn't think they were out of place there when they come on, you know. Even though I was busting to get off, waiting for my number to come up.
Well, you'd got your 2 goals, and it was a 4-1 win for Carrick Rangers in the first round of the League Cup at home. But seeing those younger players from that, I'm hearing a new sort of feeling of trying to bring them along as well, and a few leadership qualities maybe, Danny.
Yeah, I think. Well, now, Michael, some of them train. I think the gaffer swaps them up a wee bit, training nights, and brings some up, and then brings another couple up. So he is brilliant that way with them, as of all of us, you know. Can't speak highly of Stewarty, but when the kids come up, they don't look out of place, and they're brilliant. They listen, and they've been told there's chances there for them, particularly now with with a lot of us getting knocks and whatnot and suspensions and that carry on, but that all happens in football, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and well, I think people will be trying to wrap you in cotton wool because your goal scoring form has been most impressive so far. Carrick fans will be hoping you can continue that against Loughgall, but I mean, Loughgall, what a start to the season they have had. They have proven really difficult for some of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone expected them to start as well as they did, especially coming up from the league below, but they're absolutely flying them in it. When I was with the Glens, we always did hate going there regardless of who was playing, who wasn't. They're a tough team to go to, and especially their wee tight pitch as well. But no, we're looking forward to it. That's two in the bounce for us as well, and thankfully I'm back scoring goals again, so confidence is high, and hopefully we can go there and get points.
It is
going to be easy, you know.
No, it certainly won't be easy, and it just goes to show you, I mean, just how competitive things are at the moment. You look at them getting draws away to Crusaders and Cliftonville, beating Larne. It's been a remarkable start to the season, and I know people probably from Loughgall are going, would you stop complimenting us, please, because there's still so many games left, but... It's a long season, and you know things can change. But I mean, at the end of the day, you're looking at it. You're 5 points behind them at the minute. A victory, all of a sudden, is pushing you in the right direction.
We're only 5 points behind them, and they're in the top six. Yeah.
Yeah, they're sixth.
Yeah, and we've got beat by Ballymena and beat by Newry, and we're just dropping silly points, and then going and beating and drawing against the top six. So if we can start beating teams in around our where we are at the minute, I think we'll do alright, and we'll start climbing.
You know, confidence I'm sensing is a big thing with you. Is there any bigger confidence boost than your performance at Windsor Park? I mean, that 3-3 at the end of August was just a crazy game of football, but to get a couple of goals in that as well must have been sweet.
Yeah, well, the confidence, I think it's all down to Stewarty allowing me just to go and play. Okay, games I haven't been playing as the main striker or as a two up front, he's been putting me wide of a three. I think maybe because I've got a bit of legs there and I can run all day. But I tell people it's all down to him bringing me to Carrick, playing me week in, week out. And I think a big statement for me is over my career, meeting managers, he's the only one that's really stuck to his word and told me, listen, I play you, come here. There's 38 games or plus league, cup games, and I'll try and play in 90 minutes, 95 minutes every single game, and yet I think I've only been brought off one game. So, but yeah, it's all down to him. But I knew if I got a run of games in this league, I'd still score goals in this league that we're playing in, you know.
And just finally, how do you look at the top flight of Northern Irish football in terms of where it's been? Because you've been around it for long enough now. You know the quality. You know what it's been like. You know what you're coming up against currently. Do you think that it is more competitive, higher standard than even a few years ago?
Absolutely. Even my first period at Glentoran from now, it's getting better and better every year, and it's getting more competitive. And we'll go back to look at Loughgall coming up from the Championship last year. They're absolutely flying at the minute. Anyone can beat anybody on their day, you know, Michael. As we always say, it's 11v11 regardless of the full time, part time. You turn up on your day, you can do what you want.
I mean, the one thing talking to you that sticks in my head, because I'm loving seeing lots of teams, when they can afford to, obviously it has to make sense, going full time, but the idea that we could lose players like you from our top flight if everyone was to go that way is the one thing that sort of just holds me back and being all in and pushing for it to be that way. And I'm sure you know of other people from amateur league days, etc., who are in a similar position going, look, we don't want any of that full time stuff. It wouldn't work for us in our work and our lives.
Well, this is it. I don't think I would ever go back full time in football again. Saying that I'm 28 now, I'm getting a wee bit older. But I still look after myself. But no, I don't think I would go. All right, I would recommend people going, if for the dream, go and try it out. But when the Glens came in for me full time, I thought, listen, I'll go and see what it's all about. But it's just not for me, Michael. I just, with work and two kids, and it's just too busy for me, and going up and down, and with Glen Torn up and down the road every day, it was just hard.
Yeah, look, it makes total sense. There's plenty of people who are thinking, if my circumstances were different, I might be able to do different things, and you've been able to find that perfect blend where you can be successful in your job and you can be successful in your other job, which is your football. So power to you. Look, it's been great talking to you. Thanks so much for coming onto the programme, and completely biased in saying, please keep scoring lots of goals for Carrick.
Yeah, I will try, Michael. and hopefully we can go to Loch Gall on Saturday and take all 3 points.
That'll be Dean Smith probably texting me now saying, Michael, you're off the Christmas card list. Sorry, Dean, but at least he knows what way my bread's buttered.
There we go, man.
Well, Danny, thanks so much for coming on to The Score, and best of luck for the season.
Thank you very much.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Don't you just love to hear it? I certainly do. Danny Purkis promising big things on his The Score debut, and why not with the form that he is in? Now we turn our attention to our final guest of the week. That is the international manager, Michael O'Neill. I was speaking to him after his squad announcement earlier this week for the upcoming games against San Marino and against Slovenia. And you just have to look at the squad to see there's a lot of young players in there, people with not too many caps, and so I put it to him that experience is a bit of a luxury item these days.
Yeah, it is, you know, and look, we're not leaving experienced players out to accommodate the younger players. That's the reality of the situation. Unfortunately, the experienced players that we've been without and that are still, you know, on their way back from the various injuries that they have, and I think that, you know, we have to start to look towards the next phase of where we will be as an international team and as a nation. We have, I think, 16 months before we play like a World Cup qualifying game. So, you know, I think 14 games potentially in that period. So we have to use this time wisely. And the older players are still extremely important to us, because I think you need them in any transitional period to guide. We probably have too many young players in at this minute in time. But equally, there's not players on the outside that we're leaving out at this minute in time that could really say, well, I deserve to be in the squad. They're not playing well enough at their clubs. They're not playing regularly enough at their clubs. And obviously, that's what dictates your inclusion at international level. So, that's the way I've gone, and that's the approach I'll take going forward.
And then you come into a game like San Marino where everyone will expect a certain level of performance and a certain level of result. And I know as professional footballers, that's part of the job. Yeah. But mindful of what you've said about young and inexperienced players, what should fans think is realistic looking at these next two games?
Well, look, we have two home games, which we believe we're capable of winning both games. You know, we obviously won in San Marino, which was expected. We'll be expected to win against San Marino at home. I think in Slovenia, we showed a lot of good traits. The disappointing thing was the goals we conceded. We ended up, part of that was down, you know, individually. We made some poor decisions. And also, you know, we ended up having to chop and change the back four quite a bit in that game. I think we had two substitutions in the back four, which is always difficult then to cope with that. But I think that, you know, as I say, we believe we've gone into every game in this campaign believing that we're capable of taking something. And I think, you know, the performances have shown that. Unfortunately, the results don't. And we've, you know, narrowly been beaten in four of the games, 1-0. And obviously, we had the 4-2 result out in Slovenia. So I think that what we need to see is two really good home performances. Maybe for the supporters and the fans to see a glimpse of what lies ahead with some of the younger players. And, you know, give them a positive as well, because it hasn't been, results-wise, it's not been positive for the fans. And, you know, I think there was always going to be a little bit of a natural drop-off from Euro 2020. We're currently going through that a little bit as well. And we have to, obviously, you know, build confidence and momentum in a young group of players. And the supporters, you know, they play a big part in that as well.
So I get the sense that you don't view the San Marino game as a match where experimentation is the priority. It's 3 points, best team available of those that you've got in the squad.
No, very much. Yeah, I think you have to you have to still try and win games, and you have to, for all sorts of reasons, for your ranking, for whatever pot you're in, for the draw, and just to have a better feel-good factor around the team. I look at a lot of the younger players, particularly in the squad, and they won't have had a huge experience of winning a lot of games at international level. So you don't want that to become a habit. You don't want that to become an acceptance. So, you know, the only way to change that is to go out there and win games. And certainly with two home games, we have the opportunity to do that.
And you talk about having to make changes in defence. We know now Craig Cathcart is retired. I guess, first of all, your reaction to that, I'm sure you would love to have still had him available.
Look, yeah, I mean, Craig's, he's physically still capable of playing, but you know, obviously he feels this is the right thing for him, and I have to respect that. I'd had a lot of dialogue with him over the summer, and he just didn't really, I think, find an opportunity that excited him enough or motivated him enough to play, and I think players get to that point in their career, and you know, he's decided to make this decision now, and you know, I can only wish him well. For me, he was a fantastic player. You know, he's very versatile in the back four. You know, I think I've played him basically nearly in every position in the back four, and you know, he came from, I suppose, a player maybe a little bit on the periphery to really establish himself, and you know, it's terrific for us going through 2016, 2018, and you know, a player that we'll sorely miss, but obviously we have to respect his decision.
He just made the move to Belgium as well. I would imagine it came as a bit of a surprise to everybody when it was announced, or did you have an inkling?
No, I have to say I didn't. He called me a little bit out of the blue to inform me Saturday morning. I thought he was actually in Belgium, but he wasn't. And because he'd left to do the medical when we were in Slovenia, which was important that he got, you know, his contract and everything sorted out. But I think he must have just had a feeling that it wasn't for him. And on that basis, you know, he's made the decision that he's made. And that's something that, look, I think in his mind, over the summer, he must have thought about it quite a bit. You know, the last couple of seasons at Watford, maybe in his head he found them a little bit difficult as well. And, you know, he's decided that, you know, he's going to look at other maybe opportunities, whether they're in football or outside football, you know, going forward.
And Kieran Brown, I know he was injured, but he played and scored for Oxford, so he's back playing club football. What's the thoughts of not having him in the squad here?
Well, I just felt like, you know, I would probably have to, you know, leave one of the younger players out to include Kieran. And obviously, you know, he got injured in the Slovenia game, missed the Kazakhstan game, and we've got Jamal back. I wanted to see Brody again because we didn't get him on the pitch, and he's playing very well at Motherwell in that position actually as well. So, you know, the Jimmy Nicol has been to watch Brody on a couple of occasions, and the feedback we've had from Motherwell has all been very positive. So, yeah, like Kieran misses out at this minute in time. You know, his club form, he just has to bring that into the international stage.
And Northern Ireland fans will be wondering about Stephen Davis now, the interim manager of Rangers. Wow.
Look, it's nothing surprising me in football now, I was surprised by the news, but Stephen, yeah, look, it's a fantastic opportunity. You know, obviously, you look at Stephen's career as a player, and it clearly it shows you how he's regarded within Rangers Football Club by the board in particular. And I think, you know, it makes sense if you're going to change the manager that you go to someone that understands the club, understands the dressing room, has total respect of the dressing room as well. And whilst he hasn't been in this position before, he'll draw on all his experience as a player, and he'll bring them into the role for however long that it's meant to last. You know, he's got obviously the game tomorrow night and the game on Sunday in particular against St Mirren, which is, you know, crucial for them obviously in terms of the title race in Scotland. And Stephen has, you know, he has a lot of just good human qualities that I think will translate into good management. You know, he's never overly emotional. He's not, I think he has a very sort of, you know, common sense approach to decision making as well. And any discussions I ever had with Stephen around the team were easy discussions to have, whether it was about his own situation or whether that was about the team in general. And, you know, so I think that, you know, he has more than enough in his locker to be able to deal with this situation in the short term, and obviously, you know, see how that develops going forward.
And as his international manager, is there any part of you fearing that if he does remarkably well, you might not get him back?
Well, he's that'll depend on how long he's the Rangers manager for, if I'm honest. You know, he isn't going to be able to do both. I think that would be foolhardy to expect that as well. So I think at this minute in time, Stephen was at the point in his rehab where November was looking extremely doubtful anyway. I think it would be a long, long shot for him to be involved in November. And we don't play again to March. So that's a long, long period for this situation to develop and just let it develop naturally, see where it goes. And obviously, I would love to see Stephen playing again for Northern Ireland and Rangers. But I'll just have to be patient on that.
And talk about developing stories. The Euro 2028 bid looks like it's going to be a successful one. Turkey have withdrawn. It's all about waiting to Tuesday for it to be ratified now by UEFA. How exciting is that? What does this news mean to you?
Listen, it's, you know, obviously to be part of it is hugely exciting. Now the fact that it looks like it's going to be concluded is fantastic. There's still hurdles that, you know, we need to get over. But I think we saw the benefit of being involved in the major tournament, obviously going back to 2016 and what it meant to the people here in Northern Ireland and obviously the people that travelled. So to have it on home soil and be part of it would be an amazing experience. And I think, you know, the UK and Ireland has got the best, you know, facilities, can match anything in the world in terms of putting on a tournament, the infrastructure for a tournament. And I think that, you know, it's an amazing and exciting opportunity for us to be part of that.
And are you confident, can we go as far as confident, that you'll be able to play at home in that?
Well, look, that's outside my remit. You know, I'll play anywhere, to be honest, so I'm not too bothered. I just think that, you know, the upsides to playing on home soil in a major tournament, we have to recognise that, and obviously, you know, hopefully we can find the solution to that.
And just finally, Michael, very appreciative of your time. Looking at these, I guess this group as a whole, we've seen glimpses of being able to hurt teams and score goals and other aspects, as you've alluded to, you'd like to try and help improve if you can. Can we expect to see, you know, an attacking game against San Marino? Fans might be getting a bit carried away thinking, cricket score, San Marino, etc. We scored two out there.
Yeah. Well, look, I think we have to go with an attacking approach at home anyway. You know, we tried... The campaign has been obviously challenging. Talk long enough about player availability, but I think the wide players that we have available to us now are in a better place than they were in March. You know, Conor McMenamin, for example, is now at St Mirren and playing well. Yeah, Matty Kennedy's at Kilmarnock and playing well. You know, Paddy Lane's doing well at Portsmouth now. That wasn't the case in March, so we were kind of a little bit more influenced by what we would play in terms of playing with two strikers and not playing with wingers. In the last two games we've played with wingers, and I think we've seen the benefit of that. The downside to that was obviously the four goals we conceded in Slovenia. That, you know, wasn't down to just the fact that we played changed the system. It was probably down to the fact that how we defend it as a whole, as a team. So that's something that we need to work on, continue to work on. And, you know, we changed the system. We'd only 3 days in Slovenia and had to travel. So there was challenges there. But I think that, you know, we've got now 5-6 days at home. We can bet on a little bit more. But certainly every time we play here in Belfast, it's very important that we try and play on the front foot, regardless of the opposition. And that's what obviously we'll strive to do in these two games.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Always interesting hearing from Michael O'Neill as he prepares for those games against San Marino and Slovenia. The expectation most certainly will be victory over San Marino. There's no doubt about that. Will it give an opportunity to play Callum Marshall? We've heard that Michael O'Neill doesn't want to just rotate for the sake of it. He wants to play his strongest team. Callum made his senior debut against Denmark back in June. Thought he'd scored as well in that game. It certainly would have changed feelings about how the competition has gone so far for Northern Ireland, particularly. Might have helped them in terms of confidence heading into other games, but not to be. He has 12 goals and 9 outings to date in Premier League 2 this season for West Ham United's under-21s, so he's a young man, certainly in very good form. He was also on the bench for their first team in the cup tie against Lincoln City, and I was busting for him to get on, but he didn't. Jamal Lewis back in the team as well, so that's good news. Will Brad Lyons make his international debut? He's in the squad. Just to quickly run you through it in case you've missed it, Bailey Peacock-Farrell, Connor Hazard and Luke Southwood are the goalkeepers. Johnny Evans, Paddy McNair, Jamal Lewis, Daniel Ballard, Trey Hume, Brody Spencer and Owen Toll are the defenders. George Saville, Jordan Thompson, Ali McCann, Shea Charles, Connor McMenamin, Isaac Price, Paul Smith, Matthew Kennedy, Paddy Lane and Brad Lyons are the midfielders. And I'm going to ignore the graphic that says Dale Taylor's a midfielder because he's one of the forwards, as is Josh McGuinness, Connor Washington, Dion Charles and Callum Marshall. The San Marino game is next Saturday, that is the 14th. It is a 2 o'clock kickoff. The Slovenia game, which is also at Windsor Park, is the following Tuesday. That's the 17th of October. It kicks off at 7:45. More on that again next week, I would imagine, on the programme as ever. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I certainly have, but we are out of time. Recommend us to a friend. Make sure you don't miss anything either. Send them and send yourselves to The Score and I across our socials and wherever you get your podcasts from, and you can keep right up to date. But for now, all that remains to be said is enjoy your weekend of sport. Bye-bye.